Good morning, Trinity Youth. It is Friday, March 8th, 2024. This is Dave.
And Haley. And today we have another one of our beloved students on the pod. This girl is brilliant, humble, kind, and a joy to be around.
Big facts.
She's an 8th grade girls leader and is truly the best. Julie Yoder, we are glad to have you as a friend, but also glad to have you on the pod.
I'm major so friend glad to be here. I love the youth podcast, so I'm excited to be featured.
Longtime fan. By long time, I mean since it started like 2 months ago.
Yes. Very long time. I'm an OG.
You've been around for a long time, Jill. So in many respects, you are an OG.
So Jill, we love to start every podcast with a little bit of friendly banter, kicked off by a question. And so we have a question for you. And the question is, Jill, can you tell us about a time where you had to be super brave? Not just brave, super brave.
Super.
Were there people around to support you? What was that like?
Well, I feel like I've had to be brave a few different times doing experiences with youth group that were outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Personally, I am not a fan of heights at all. I don't even like rock climbing with Haley because it's just too far up that wall. I look down, I get scared.
Yeah.
And last summer in Ecuador, we were in Quito and we went to this cathedral, which was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And part of the cathedral was you could climb outside up a ladder to like the very top, and it had a gorgeous view, but I was terrified to go up this ladder.
This ladder, to be fair, would not be legal in America.
Yeah. I wonder about that a lot. I was like, what were the coatings on this?
It did not
look very safe, and I didn't feel very safe while I was on it. But I was also just with so many people, so many of my friends, that I was like, I mean, if they're gonna do it, then I need to do it too. And we were all really scared in that moment, but we were all kind of like feeding off each other's energy, and like none of us really wanted to. We were like, well, if we all do it, then we got to do it. So we all made it to the top, and it was so worth it. It was so pretty.
Yeah.
And even on the way down, when one of my friends, Xavier, started shaking the ladder, I was okay. I didn't fall, and I am glad that I did that.
It might have been a scarier way down than the way up.
It was definitely scarier down.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see where you were going.
Yeah, on the way up, you're looking up. On the way down, you can see.
Yeah, and like you have to be looking down in order to like get your steps, which means you're just looking at the distance, which is not fun.
Yeah, your brain goes to fun places in that moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that ladder gave me a bit of the heebie-jeebies when I thought about it.
Oh, yeah, me too. And I, like, heights are like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'll be, like, take, like, 100 feet off the ground, just sitting there, like, thinking about how I'm going to climb the rest. Yeah. So, yeah, if that scared me, you know it's really a time. But, y'all, what I love about that for you, Jill, is that bravery was tied to being people that you loved. Mm-hmm. Like, there are these people who are around you, and you're like, okay, like, I'm in it because of you. Like, I will do this because of my love for y'all. And it's a really scary thing. And there's a quote that I love from Kate Bowler that I read recently. It said, there's something about love that makes us brave, isn't there? Now, scripture today shows us a time where Jesus had to be incredibly brave. And sometimes I forget how brave Jesus had to be to endure and even like face all the things he faced. And his bravery came out of a deep sense of love. And so we're going to look into what he did when he found out some really scary things. And with that lens on, Dave, could you read the scripture for us and remind us what happened in the passage before this?
Sure, yeah. So we're in Matthew 12:14-21. And on Wednesday, the passage we looked at was immediately preceding this, the beginning of chapter 12, where Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. And that apparently ruffled some feathers. There was the Pharisees, which were a group of Jewish scribes. We'll hit on them in just a second. We're not happy about it. And so this healing has happened. People are upset about the law, the strict law of how Jesus may or may not have broken Sabbath. And so this is the response. So we initially saw just what the man experienced with his disciples, but now we're seeing how the crowds and the Pharisees, how outsiders experienced this. So that's what we're going to zoom in on. I'm going to read this. Jumping in verse 14 of chapter 12 of Matthew. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against Jesus, how to destroy him. Yes, how to destroy him after
intense
he just healed
verbiage.
The man. Yeah. When Jesus became aware of this, he left. Many crowds followed him, and he cured all of them, kept on healing. And he ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not wrangle or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles, that's the people who are beyond just the Jewish folks, they will hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Wow, yeah, there's so much packed into this passage. It's tough to tell where to start. It's really hard to imagine, though, Dave, like reading all this about Jesus, people wanting to kill him because he's doing all these really good things. He's like with all these people who tend to like really want to hear what he has to say. And the Pharisees were religious, and he seems to be a super religious Jew. Like in the temple, like why would they want to kill Jesus? What was up with, like, what's the desire behind that for them?
All right. Well, we'll try to give a handle on who the Pharisees were in a short amount of time. There's a lot more to it. But the Pharisees, I remember growing up, there's different groups of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we're in the hypocrites, and we had this little song to try to keep them straight. And it's like, I don't want to be a hypocrite because they're not hip with it.
And I've heard that, which is kind of, I didn't grow up in church, but it's surprising that I've heard that,
And then there was, and the Sadducees were a group that didn't believe in the resurrection, so they thought, like, this life is it. When you're dead, you're dead. And so it was, I don't want to be a Sadducee because they're so sad, you see. And then it was, I don't want to be a Pharisee because they're not fair, you see. And, okay, so what's the deal with being fair? They were actually accused of being hypocrites at times because the Pharisees, to be fair to them, they were people who were honestly trying to follow God with all their heart.
They really wanted to.
And they took it to a level of extreme rule following. And that was their form of showing devotion. So they were incredibly devoted people. A club of people who really, they dug into the scriptures. They so wanted to know exactly what God wanted from their life. And I think where it just got bent is they didn't have an understanding of grace or of the scriptures that say, I desire mercy over sacrifice. For them, it was all about the sacrifice. But where the whole they're not fair, you see, is that Jesus called them out on, they would nitpick on these little rules about Sabbath of like, oh, you can't even, when a guy got healed and like picked up his bed mat, they said, oh, you're doing work. And they're missing the fact that like somebody's life just got saved. And so they got dinged for this. And so why would they want to kill Jesus? Well, they were so about following the rules that anybody who was twisting the rules was a threat to them. And Jesus didn't fit into the mold of what they thought God would be.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, so their construction, their interpretation of the Jewish scriptures were just so narrow. And again, they, with so much devotion, were held to this. So they had that going for them. That is an admirable quality, but there was very little room for curiosity, and they kind of put God in a box, and Jesus destroyed that box. And I think it's a lesson for all of us that we kind of put God in a box too. We have our version of like, God is supposed to behave this way. And when Jesus showed up, they just had no category for it. Even though when you zoomed out, you're like, oh, he is actually fulfilling everything that they want. They are so looking for Messiah. He's it. And they're just missing it. That's so sad. So why did they want to kill Jesus? Well, there are laws in the Old Testament about blasphemy. And if people, blasphemy was essentially could boil down to like you claim to be God, but you're not God, or say something on God, you misrepresent God in a way that is leading people astray. And to hold to the, to try to maintain truth, you could actually kill a blasphemer. And so for them to be super rule followers, to wrap all this up, that would mean anybody who's committing this blasphemy, leading people astray, would need to be killed. Jesus fit that category in their mind. So I hope that was a lot.
They felt really threatened by him, too.
They felt super threatened.
Like, they were like, if this guy's, like, bending the rules and other people start doing that, like.
And they had a lot of power. They had a lot of power. The people looked to them. And so for Jesus to come on the stage and see how people, you know, they talked about Jesus as, like, oh, he's authority, not, like, the teachers of the law, which would have been them.
Yeah.
So they're sort of losing their audience at the same time. So, one, it's destroying, it's kind of shattering what they thought was possible with God, which is really hard, like change is that hard. And their social influence is kind of going down because Jesus has been so popular at this time.
Yeah, so there's like so much socially going on here, more than even just what we see.
Thanks for hanging with us on a little deep dive into the Pharisees, y'all.
We love a deep dive with Dave.
Appreciate that.
It's amazing.
I will withhold any dad jokes about scuba diving. Okay, moving on.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, Jill, obviously realizing people like are plotting to kill you would be like a pretty stressful thing. I would really, I'd be like, time to go get a, like go into Secret Service-y. Like I need like people to protect me. I'd be really stressed. What do you think it says about Jesus that he continued to heal even after realizing this? Like, this huge bomb's dropped. He's like, whoa. And he, like, keeps going to the people. Like, what does that, in your opinion, say?
I feel like it shows how selfless he was and how focused he was on what he knew that he had to do. He knew that his purpose was to act as the Son of God and, like, show God's love to people by healing them and, like, listening to them and, like, just sharing God's word with everyone that was around him. And so, like, it shows how much he trusted God, because even in the face of fear, he knew that God had a plan and that that plan was more important than any worldly fears or anyone else's perception of what he was doing. So it's just like, I feel like it's a good representation of how much peace he had mm-hmm. with like his place in God's story and like what he knew he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
He had what a lot of us, I mean, wish we had, was a clarity of, that's what I'm here for. It lets me know what I can say no to, like whose approval I'm looking for. Man. So this, in the scripture with Matthew, he quotes Isaiah. He goes way back, so like Old Testament, 700 years earlier, and has this really interesting quote from Isaiah. It shows us what's going on in Jesus's mind as he's healing on the Sabbath, continuing to move bravely into a place where he's going to be physically threatened. And it's a story of both love and hope. So what do y'all think this tells you about bravery and love?
I think it shows us that love is more powerful than fear, and because of that, we can turn love into a reason that we need to be brave, just like Jesus used his love for the people as a reason to ignore his fears a lot of the time and focus more on what he was doing and how he was treating people. And, like, smaller situation, but, like, with my Ecuador example, like, mm-hmm. the love that that whole community that was on that trip had for each other, like in that situation, we were all scared, but we were like, this is going to be like a memory that we have together. And we're going to look back on this with love for each other and like love for this experience. And so that I feel like that kind of like compelled us to keep going and like climb up this thing that was scary. And like, we didn't really want to do it. And I feel like in a lot of social situations too, knowing that like God loves you and knowing that there's other people that love you. I feel like in my life, I've, like, used that a lot of times to be, like, a reason to be brave in social situations, because I know that that love that God has for me is still, like, the truest thing about me, and so I can still face these things that I'm scared of, because, like, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, that can be hard in social settings and friend groups and with, like, at school. It's like, what do these people think of me? And, like, having a deeper sense of identity rooted in love is a really powerful thing, Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jill, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here with this, so take your time and response. But I'm just curious, like, how, make this real. Like, you have the, I mean, you sit in a spot of being in high school right now, and and when you speak to middle schoolers, I know, like, they listen to what you have to say, too. So how would you see this showing up in the hallways of school or, like, the social scene at school? And what you said earlier really struck me. You said Jesus was able to move into these spaces of being brave, because he was able to sort of ignore, or he's aware of, but still move bravely in spite of how people might perceive him. You said something about the perceptions of his actions, which I know the perceptions, how people might perceive me and us. I mean, me as an adult now, but for sure, I can remember being middle school, high school, like that.
Oh, yeah.
That impacted so much, influenced so much what I decided to do or not do. And I might be feel compelled to act a certain way, but then like, oh, how, what are people going to think about this?
Mm-hmm.
So it really takes bravery.
Yeah.
To act a certain way in school. So yeah, how do you see this? Does this come home in some way to, you know, the hallways of a school, a lunchroom, a social scene?
I feel like my like first thought is like how it influences like gossip in my school and within my friend groups. Because I feel like one thing that I've realized in recent years, just as I've grown up and like as my faith has gotten stronger, is I've like noticed more when my friends are like gossiping about people. And like, I feel like that's something that's just so like common in like today's like friendships. Like that's just like what we talk about, and it's like considered normal. But I feel like I've noticed more that it started to bother me and like specifically with like people that like, like, my friend group doesn't necessarily know very well, but they're, like, making assumptions about them. And, like, one way that I've kind of, like, stepped out of my comfort zone is, like, being okay with expressing that, like, I'm not okay with that. Yeah. And, like, wow. being, yeah. like, well, we don't know this person. Like, presenting a different, like, side wow. of, like, gossip a lot of the time, which, like, I feel like that's something that, like, I do out of love for, like, people, even if I don't know them, because, like, I try to, like, live my life, like, loving people, even if it's not to their face. Like loving people behind their back is so important for, like, our own mindset and also just, like, how people, like, perceive each other. Like, if I'm totally. Talking bad about someone, that's going to influence how other people talk about them, too. And so that's just, like, an area that I've had to pray a lot about because it's hard to, like, go against, like, what your friends and, like, really the people hard. That, like, you want to, like, respect you and, like, get along with and have fun with you are saying and doing. But I also think it's important, and people like they honestly, like, most of the time they have good responses and they're like, oh yeah, like mm-hmm. I understand that. And it's kind of like a domino effect of, like, showing love to people.
It is. Yeah. That influences, you open up people's imagination, but it takes guts mm-hmm. to be the first yeah. one to say it. If you're like, am I alone in this?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Especially in girl world too. Like, most people don't think twice, and then to be like, hey, like, I'm going to love this person by refraining. They might not ever know. Like, they're probably never going to know that you were, like, someone who, like, stood up for them. And that cost you something. Like, people were like, because, like, we all have those moments where you know you're in the wrong. Like, you're talking about someone, someone says something, and you're like, oh, no. Like, I know I maybe shouldn't have done that. And so, like, it causes that moment for you and your friend, and you're willing to cost that. Like, you're like, I know that, like, this is the right thing. And I think it moves people towards, like, oh, if Jill can do that, I can do that, too. Like, I can, like, give the alternative perspective. Mm-hmm. I can be quiet. So just so you know, like, the way that those choices you make have a ripple effect and make people think again about, like, the things they should and shouldn't be saying. Yeah. So I love that.
It's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking at this passage in Isaiah, and it mentions Jesus sort of staying quiet and being in this place until justice comes. And, like, Jill, I see that reflected in your story. It talks about Jesus saying, when he quotes Isaiah, like, no one's going to hear his voice in the streets. And I'm going to continue this way until justice comes to victory. It's just kind of cool to think, like, in some of these hidden spaces, we're standing up for justice. Yeah. If it's with that group of friends, taking the bold stand to say a thing or not go with a certain action that we feel compelled against, whatever it is. But thanks for sharing that, Jill.
Yeah.
So appreciate it.
Yeah. Jill, thanks for joining us today. We're really grateful for this time with you. Trinity Youth, our challenge for you today is to think of a moment where you've had to be brave recently and journal about what that felt like. I think sometimes we forget the vulnerability of that or whatever might have occurred for you, like what your body felt like. Was your heart racing? Was your mind racing? What was going on for you when you had to be brave? And was there love on the other side of that? Like, what was on the other side of being brave for you? And ask God to reveal to, like, what it reveals about what you love. I think often when we're brave, it shows that you really care about something. And what are those things for you in your life?
That's awesome. And one more time, Jill, I'm just going to have you leave with this thing. You said sometimes you go in those moments with your friends where you're like, I feel like I should say something, and you've had to pray about it. Mm-hmm. What does that prayer look like for you?
I ask God for courage and for wisdom to know how to, like, approach the situation, to give me the words to say the right thing in a way that is responded to well by the people I'm talking to.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we are encouraged. We're inspired just hearing that. So thank you. Trinity Youth, so good to be with you again. Thanks for spending this time with us. And as always,
peace be with you. It's almost one take, Dave.
So close.